The oldest rooms in Hampton Court Palace reopened to the public today after years of closure. The reimagined and immersive space will explore the early years of Henry VIII's reign and the ordinary men and women who shaped the Tudor dynasty. My name's Lucy Mayer and I've been speaking to Brett Dolman, who's currently Curator of Collections for Historic Royal Palaces. Based at Hampton Court, he's responsible for the management, research, display and interpretation of fine art, including paintings and tapestries.
Brett Dolman, Curator Collections for Historic Royal Palaces.
The Wolsey Rooms, which we're in today, can you explain a little bit about what they are and how they've come to being today, 2024?
The Wolsey Rooms were built in the 1520s. They're the oldest surviving interiors at Hampton Court. They're built by Thomas Wolsey as he's expanding this house here by the river in Hampton Court into a palace. It's the first palace, really, at Hampton Court. And it's one of the most modern, most interesting buildings in the country. These particular rooms are originally extended over three floors. We have one principal floor left. They're used for Wolsey to live in, but also to entertain important guests. It's really where the Tudors met the rest of the world. It's where Wolsey may have met the French ambassador and also perhaps an envoy from the Pope, as he was trying desperately to arrange a divorce for Henry VIII from his first wife, Catherine of Aragon. So they're hugely important rooms, and they've been open throughout their history. They were used for as a grace and favour residence in the 19th century, but then they were open to the public, but not since 2019. So one of our main ambitions this year was to reopen them again to the public.
And people who have seen them before, I think, will be pleasantly surprised by what they look like now, because it's a really beautiful and immersive exhibition. So could you tell the listener exactly what they will find when they come to see it?
What we wanted to do with reopening the Wolsey Rooms was primarily to give people access to the rooms themselves, which are, as you say, beautiful decorative examples of Tudor interiors, but also to provide a permanent home for some key Tudor paintings from the royal collection, particularly the Tudor history paintings, which are these important, rare, surviving witnesses, really, to Henry VIII's early reign. The Field of Cloth of Gold in 1520, and a bit earlier, the Battle of Spurs in 1513. So you will find those artworks supported by a range of other portraits and historic objects from our own collections, some key loans from elsewhere too, that help tell that story. But we also wanted not just to tell that story in traditional terms, if you like, where we're used to seeing or understanding what Henry VIII did, but to tell some of the wider stories about the people that built and made the Tudor court what it was.
There are so many people, and it often focuses so much, quite rightly probably, on Henry VIII. But who are these other people, and what did they do, and what was their role here?
If you look at the painting of the Field of Cloth of Gold, yes, you can see Henry VIII in it three times, and you can follow his story. But there were also hundreds of other people. And it just struck me and us that we wanted to tell some of their stories. And they might be the cooks and the waiters that help provide food for the Field of Cloth of Gold. They might be the entertainers that came and provided the music and the drama for the festival that happened in 1520. And you can use those characters as jumping off points to tell wider stories about all of the servants, the cast of thousands that helped build these magnificent palaces, that helped that served Henry VIII in his private apartments, in his bath chamber, and in his library, and in his jewel house. And we have artifacts that support those stories, and we also look at some of the important women at court as well. And we try to tell, I think, some more interesting stories that we haven't done before about the effect of and the impact on their lives of the decisions that kings and queens made during this period. So this is an era of great challenge and change for English people. Famously, you have Henry VIII's break with Rome, and that turns the spiritual landscape of England upside down. And we trace some of the impact that that has on Catholics living, for example, in the Elizabethan era in England. We also look at what Henry VIII's decision to divorce Catherine of Aragon, what that impact had on Catherine's household, and what happened to some of her servants when she was ejected from her position of power and influence. So there's all of these threads which we think tell a wider, more inclusive, more representative story of all the people that existed in and around the court. And we also want to do this in a more global way too, because this was an age of exploration where the Europeans in particular were making new cultural connections. And the Tudor court can be described in glowing terms with all of the fabulous colour in its decoration and the material culture that we see in the portraiture of the period. But where did this come from? Who made it? What was the impact on their lives of this new European demand for new dyes, new jewellery, new precious stones? And this became, of course, an era of exploration and exploitation, because some of those stories are very painful ones to tell. But we hope to put that in context and to, I guess, basically to get people to ask questions about the period that they haven't asked before. So yes, you will find the stories about Henry VIII and his wives, as you always have done at Hampton Court, but you will also hopefully engage with some of these paintings and objects that we're putting on display in some slightly new ways too.
I guess it's important we learn other histories as well as the main ones.
I think it's always important to ask questions about history and to challenge your preconceptions about what you think. It doesn't mean reinventing the historical narrative. It just means, in fact, the historical narrative is never fixed. It is always a debate, and it always shifts and is reliant on the questions that we ask of it. And so, yes, you can look at and tell the story of the 1500s through the eyes of Henry VIII, and that's important. But you could also tell the stories through the eyes of a woman who served Catherine of Aragon. You can tell the story through the eyes of Anne Harris, who is the king's laundress, dealing with all of his pus-stained bandages, which she had to do and wash and change on a regular basis. Or you can tell that story through the eyes of Jack Francis, who is a salvage diver that comes from West Africa and is employed by a Venetian salvage expert to rescue the cannons from the seabed, which are very valuable. This is the wreck of the Mary Rose in the 1540s. So Jacques is employed along with some of his colleagues because he is a free diver, somebody who has learnt to hold his breath for a huge amount of time in salvaging pearls and other seaborne treasures from the sea floor. And this is a skill. And that life and that story is particularly interesting. And I think that the more of those stories that we tell, the more insights we have into what actually life was like in the 1500s. And that is really the immersive endpoint. You want to be able to have all of those different frames of reference in order to understand the whole picture. And you know, various people and objects will appeal to different people. You don't have to get all of it. You don't have to read all of it. You can come into our new displays and you can find the bit that appeals to you.
When you've been putting this together, are there things that you didn't know that you've discovered more about? Or
I think it would be a poor historian or curator that says that they never discovered new things, because there are always new things to discover. And that sounds like an easy answer to your question. But in particular, I found it interesting to find out a bit more about global history in the 1500s, because it's very easy to always tell our story, our Hampton Court story, through the frame of British history, and that's fine and reasonable. But not everybody who comes to our palace and not everybody who lives here today has that frame of reference. They bring other areas of knowledge and experience to bear on visiting our palace. So finding out a little bit more about how other cultures saw Tudor England and how Tudor England fitted into their experience of the 16th century is a very interesting way of turning the picture on its head, and looking at the same stories that you've always looked at but through different eyes, I think, is the thing that's challenged me most but been a fascinating journey to make.